This is WSBT's Community Update on 96.1 WSBT.
Good morning. I'm John Hoffman. Community Update this week is a review of some of the leading stories from the past week. Scores from the state's new standardized tests were released Wednesday, and they were not very good. State leaders have said iLearn scores show a decrease from previous iStep tests. Schools in our area are already making plans for handling the test, preparation for the test this year as well. Schools and parents have had their individual results for a couple of weeks now.
Governor Eric Holcomb and State Superintendent Jennifer McCormick have confirmed a drop in scores from previous iStep scores. In a statement, McCormick said the results indicated lower achievement levels across the state in both English, language arts, and mathematics. Holcomb and McCormick have asked the state legislature to place a hold harmless year on the grades so schools and teachers aren't penalized. State GOP and Democratic leaders have said they support that request. iLearn replaced the iStep test, you'll remember. Now, we asked local schools how they're handling this year's scores and what they're doing to prepare students for the future. South Bend School Superintendent Todd Cummings said regardless of this year's scores, they have been falling in the district for years. He said the school district is committed to moving forward. And in a statement, he said, quote, prior to the release of the iLearn scores, we were already in the process of developing a robust literacy plan that focuses on investing more in teachers and resources for them, engaging families so learning doesn't stop once students go home, and involving the broader community since we all have a stake in the success of our public schools. Now, Elkhart Superintendent Steve Tellheimer also responding. He said in a statement, while no one's satisfied when students are not truly able to demonstrate what they know and can do, it is important to note that it's difficult to build capacity to teach skills and content and have students perform well when the state assessment format keeps changing, end quote. Tellheimer also said the district will try to learn from the results and adjust. He mentioned the district's new reading program for elementary kids and math program for middle schoolers. Additionally, he said the district will increase practice with technology. Several superintendents around the state have raised concerns about the iLearn test. It was created to improve on iStep and test students' college and career readiness. But Tellheimer said there were two big issues he had with the test. One, it was challenging for young kids to navigate long scrolling screens, to test on separate tabs for different tasks, especially for these younger kids and students who don't have technology outside the classroom. You'll remember this test is given to kids grades 3 through 8. Also, Tellheimer said the multi-step tasks required of the students required levels of stamina and flexibility many students weren't prepared for. He also said that information about the test was still trickling to schools last October. That's just a couple months before the testing happened.
WSBT 22's Kristen Bean reporting. It's easy to glance down at your phone when you get a text message while you're driving. But looking away from the road, even if only for that split second, can cost you your life. Students are learning this firsthand through a distracted driving simulation.
The Pierce Foundation is traveling to high schools across the state teaching students about distracted driving. And rather than just lecturing to them about it, students are put through a driving course using augmented reality, a course involving a series of distractions.
Oh, and there's the corner. Don't forget to turn the corner.
Students at Clay High School aren't just spending time in a classroom today.
Use the pedal.
Instead, they're inside this car.
Okay, 30 miles an hour is the speed limit.
And it just like kind of gives me anxiety. Like I get nervous. Like keep your eye on the road.
They're learning the dangers of distracted driving.
You have your cell phone handy?
By stepping into an augmented reality simulator.
Drive carefully.
Putting on a headset and pressing the gas pedal.
Everything could just hit all at once, like everything could turn around in an instant.
Members of the Pierce Foundation working one-on-one with students, challenging them to make quick decisions while dealing with realistic distractions on the road.
Everybody that I know by some degree has been impacted by a distracted driver. It's not just them being on their cell phone, they reach for water bottles, they put on makeup, they're reading books, they're watching videos on their phone.
Orlando Estrada teaching students through his own personal experiences when a friend became distracted, driving their car straight into a ditch.
You have no controls, like, well, this is what's gonna happen. Hopefully he figures out how to maintain the steering wheel, which he did, but other people don't have that aren't that fortunate.
Which is why he's standing in front of students, teaching them to be proactive by signing a pledge to not become a distracted driver.
I think it'll give me like more knowledge on like not to drive distracted and like take precaution on driving. Put my phone away, it's not that important.
And I actually had a chance to get in the car and try it out for myself. It's harder than it looks. You know, I crashed about 4 times while checking my work emails, and I also ran a red light. So bottom line, keep your eyes on the road.
WSBT 22's Lauren Becker reporting. South Bend Community Schools has new plans for improving the safety of students and staff. The school board discussed those at Tuesday's meeting, but delayed voting on them.
The district wants to spend $97,000 for a third party to do a school safety assessment. That contract would be paid for, actually, by a grant from the State Department of Homeland Security.
The one thing I'm the most happy with is the new safe hire piece that will allow the instant identification of folks when they come into buildings. It will allow making volunteering easier.
Upon entering the building, the system would use a driver's license to run an instant background check on visitors, and then they'll be given a temporary badge that expires when their visit's up. In order to enforce this, all the schools are working towards having one secure entrance point. Most of them are already almost there, whereas this list of schools needs a bit more work.
We also want parents and the community to know that student safety and staff safety is our top priority.
Advocates from the Moms Demand Action Against Gun Violence group also showed up tonight, and were pleased because they feel the school board is listening.
Yeah, these are many of the same security measures that we advocate for.
Other measures being taken to enhance security include getting at least 10 new radios at each campus and having more police visit. That way, students can get to know them better and the police will know the layout of the schools better. Cummings says one thing that will not happen is arming teachers.
It's just a bad idea.
Harris says he hopes the next step for the school board go beyond just the secure building.
We want them to understand that the mental health aspect needs to be hand in hand with any physical assessment of the space as well.
The board pushed back its vote to its September 16th meeting, saying they wanted enough time for teachers, the teachers union, and parents to review it before voting and making a decision.
WSBT 22 Selena Guevara reporting. The South Bend Common Council has contracted with former city clerk Karima Fowler to train her successor as needed and ease the transition. The South Bend Tribune reports the 90-day contract is renewable for another 90 days if both parties agree. The hourly rate of $34.75 an hour reflects the clerk's $71,000 annual salary. But Fowler said this week she does not plan to bill the city for her training work. Fowler resigned over the summer to become chief financial officer at South Bend Community Schools with an annual salary of $110,000. Fowler said she has helped Jones with issues such as ensuring policies and standard operating procedures are up to date, understanding the clerk and council relationship, and understanding requirements of Indiana's open door law for public meetings. Fowler was elected in 2015 to a term that runs through December 31st. The city clerk advertises and keeps a record of common council meetings, verbally reads bills and takes roll call votes, and oversees the collection of fines from ordinance violation citations and parking tickets. Democratic precinct leaders elected Jones, who was then a South Bend school board member, to replace Fowler until the end of her current term in December. Because there is no Republican candidate, Jones can be elected again to the post by Democratic precinct leaders when they meet in mid-December. The training contract obtained by the newspaper in a public records request was not debated or voted on publicly by the council. Council attorney Bob Palmer, who wrote the contract, said city code doesn't even require Council President Tim Scott to get signatures from two other council officers. Palmer said the code gives the council president discretion to make decisions that are administrative on his own. Anything legislative has to be voted on by the council in public. 2 days after entering into the contract, Scott notified council members in an email. He also pointed out the contract is no different than the one the council used when they transitioned the position of legal counsel. Scott said he would rather not pay a former elected official to train a successor, but feels they do deserve to be paid for their time. The owner and former CEO of Interlogic Outsourcing Incorporated, known as IOI, says in civil court filings a federal investigation is underway related to fraud allegations against him and his company. The South Bend Tribune reports KeyBank is suing the Elkhart-based payroll processing firm and its founder, Najib Khan, for fraud after $212.5 million in wire transfers for IOI came up $122 million short back in July. That led to Khan stepping down as CEO, a restructuring officer being hired, and a Chapter 11 bankruptcy declaration to prepare for sale of the company. Seven former clients have also filed civil lawsuits against IOI, hoping to recoup money that was withdrawn from their accounts to pay federal and state taxes, but was never sent to the taxing agencies. In the separate bankruptcy proceedings, IOI has filed a full list of those who may be owed money that exceeds 7,500 creditors. Many of those names, though, have been redacted after a judge ruled IOI's client list is part of its remaining value and should be preserved for possible sale. On Thursday evening, there was a heated meeting with county and city leaders and a library protest, all in reaction to a proposal to change funding for the St. Joseph County 911 Dispatch Center, which will force cuts in the library's budget.
The financial burden has primarily been on the cities of South Bend, Mishawaka, and on St. Joseph County, but some leaders from South Bend and Mishawaka say the responsibility should be spread out more evenly. This proposal would reallocate $1.6 million from the entire county's taxes towards the call center, but it cuts back on the library, transpo, and the airport.
Library supporters wanted to make sure their voices were heard.
I can just go there and I can get any books. I play D&D at this library. It's just been a place to like go. If I'm feeling down, I can always go to the library. It's been amazing.
Sarah Otis works at the New Carlisle branch and says libraries are a community center, a safe place for kids and adults.
Well, there are adults who come to the library because they're so lonely. There are people who have been suicidal who have come to the library looking for someone to talk to. Like, I've had that experience. And so it makes me so sad to think about us not being there open for all of the hours that we typically are open.
County commissioners in favor of the change say they aren't trying to actively defund the library.
This is, I've said it before, this is the least worst because given local government, we don't have many best options.
Tonight's meeting was just informational, but some council members say they should have advertised the impact sooner and given time for public comment.
The fact that we have a month or so to act on this, and it's either do it or don't, is really sad, actually, to the process of governance.
Mishawaka council member Brian Tanner says he wants to look at other options. One could be a slight increase of income tax to make up for the extra funds, or just keep the agreement as it is now.
And I'm fine shouldering that burden like we have the last several years if it means that we continue to maintain the township level, the library level of services that everybody's used to receiving.
Library supporters say they're a vital part of the community.
We are more than just a building with books.
Spokesperson for the library said it would lose almost $500,000 if this proposal goes through, which could equate to cutting an entire branch of the library. Two of the three governing councils in Mishawaka, South Bend, or St. Joseph County need to pass the plan by the end of October. If it doesn't pass, the funding will continue as it is now. St. Joseph County pays for roughly 50% of it, South Bend 35%, and Mishawaka 15%.
Once again, WSBT 22, Selena Guevara reporting. Tenants at a South Bend apartment complex continue to speak out about conditions. A meeting was held Thursday evening at Navarre Middle School to discuss Western Manor Apartments. Tenants say the rent is increasing along with other issues surrounding the apartment properties. 20 residents have moved out, including 12 in the last week, with some still being evicted despite moving out already. The Western Manor management has yet to talk to tenants about the rent hike.
Continue to be puzzled as to why you would come into a community, treat people this way, and then expect people are going to rent from you. I mean, if this is how you treat your tenants that have been there for 15, 16, 18 years, why would you expect anyone is going to want to rent from you in the future?
Notre Dame clinical law professor Judy Fox. There's also word that Mayor Pete Buttigieg has reached out to Western Manor Management.
The views expressed on WSBT's Community Update are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host, WSBT Radio, its staff, or management. Join us again next week on Community Update on The Sports Leader, 96.1 WSBT.